Blog Talk Radio.
Drumming my pain with his fingers.
You ready for this?
Singing my life with his words.
I've never been more ready for anything in my whole life.
Telling me softly with his
voice. We are drinking to new life. He's gonna have Bonnie's baby.
I hope it's a boy.
We're gonna have a baby. I'll have you out of here before then.
You sure about that?
You're not by yourself.
These are children, and we gotta set them free.
La, la, la,
la. Gotta hold our baby in my arms.
I'm with you. You've trusted love this far.
Welcome, everybody. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and that clip you just heard was from Barry Jenkins' latest If Beale Street Could Talk. This is his follow-up to 2016's Best Picture winner, Moonlight, which to me is one of the most groundbreaking films ever in my lifetime. It really changed the way we looked at romance movies and LGBTQ films and really African-American cinema as well. It is just a tremendous film, deserving of all the accolades it got. Jenkins did not take an easy path for his follow-up. He very well could have, but instead he chose to adapt one of the most challenging novels I can think of. If Beale Street Could Talk is a story, it's set in 1970s Harlem, and it centers on Tish and Fonny, who are played by Kiki Layne and Stephen James, who are two young lovers who are, you know, contemplating a future together, only to have it ripped apart when he is falsely accused of rape. As Tish discovers that she's pregnant, she does everything in her power, along with help from his family and her own family, to get him out of prison before she gives birth. This movie has all of the beautiful cinematography that you saw from Moonlight. It looks like a Barry Jenkins film. It is very passionate and sensual. And I think if you liked Moonlight, you're going to find a lot of similarities in this, at least aesthetically. Story-wise, it is very different, although both movies are very much about love and the enduring nature of it. So, If Beale Street Could Talk is a movie that is getting a lot of Oscar buzz right now. Our Critics' Choice Awards are this weekend, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and it is nominated for 4 awards, including Best Picture. So I wanted to put these interviews up now closer to the awards so that you can listen to it and kind of, you know, take it in what this movie is and hear from Jenkins and from Kiki Layne, who I also got to speak with. They both had a lot to say about the making of this film, what they put into it. For her, it's her first major role. I mean, this is a big step for her. And Tish is a character who is really learning a lot about life. And Kiki Layne is an actress who's just kind of learning about acting and learning how to be an actress. So it's very interesting there. So here are my interviews with Barry Jenkins and Kiki Layne. I'll play them back to back. They're each about 10 minutes each. I hope you enjoy them. Here we go.
Talk to me a little bit about what drove you to want to do If Beale Street Could Talk. I mean, this is such a, you know, classic Baldwin story.
What
was kind of your motivation behind wanting to adapt this?
So part of it was I've always loved James Baldwin.
Yeah.
I've always been a massive fan. And about, I guess, like 8 years ago, a friend of mine asked me, have you ever read A Beale Street Could Talk? And I was embarrassed because I hadn't. You know, it's one of Baldwin's lesser-known novels.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend who works in film said, oh, you should read it. I think there's a film in it, and I think you'd be a great choice to direct it. And so people say that a lot. It goes in one ear and out the other. But in this case, because of who it was, I took her seriously and I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw what she saw. And for me, what it was you know, Baldwin had like two, he had a lot of voices, but he had like two main voices. One of those voices was this very, this sensualist, I wrote about love, romanticism, and passion. And the other voice was very serious about social critique and really investigating the social ills of America and directly how those ills affect black folks. And in this book, it just seemed like those two things were just fused together in such an organic way that I thought it was challenging, but like in the right way.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a really difficult balance. I mean, we've seen a few movies this year that have kind of dealt with issues of injustice and, you know, your film is, I think, takes it on from a little bit different perspective. But talk to me a little bit about finding the right balance there, because I know that had to have been probably one of the biggest challenges for you.
It was one of the biggest challenges. You know, I think the book, you know, the book has a lot more terrain that it's allowed to cover. You know, it takes like probably 18, 20 hours to read this book. You know, it's only 2 hours to watch the film. So there's a lot that we couldn't put in, a lot of experience you get to go through, especially with the interior of the characters in the book, that you don't get in the film. And I think by taking that long journey in the book, some of that balance just sorts itself out. You know? But in the film, it was the biggest challenge for sure in post-production, I would say. And when you make the film, you know, you just go out and you make the film. You're not trying to go, oh, we did one scene that's love today, and I'm going to do one scene that's heavy tomorrow.
Right.
It wasn't that way. But then once we got the film in the can and started putting it together, it was about me trying to place myself in the audience's shoes and understanding how they would be going on this journey with Tish and Fonny. And that was where we allowed the film to dictate to us how much balance it is. It's not 50-50, for sure, but I think we landed at a place where the mood and the emotion I got from reading the book is, I think, what it translated to the audience.
Yeah, one of the things I really, really liked about it is that through all the, there's a lot of hardship in the film, that, you know, I think the movie really deals, really shows the resilience of all the characters involved.
Yeah.
But what I really liked about it is that it's still a very passionate and romantic movie all the way through, which I think is a really difficult thing to capture. Was that something you really wanted to make sure you kept and you kept in the story, you know, and you wanted to make sure that was something that you brought to it?
Yeah, it was. It was one of the most important things for me. I didn't want it to be an intellectual thing where you understand what's at stake, where you understand what's being lost. I want it to be a very visceral, a very felt thing, that you understood what was being lost. You know, Tish and Fonny are, you know, to me, and this is from reading the book, and I hope and even in the translation, the adaptation, they're soulmates, you know? And there's something really searing and potent and visceral about the concept of finding your soulmate and then having that soulmate basically taken away from you, especially in the moment when you guys have created this new life. And so to me, that's such a heightened thing, that to not make it visceral, to not really lean in these very big emotions, I think would have done the feeling I got from reading the novel a disjustice. And then the other part of it was, I remember growing up, you know, I grew up in Miami, Florida, and I remember watching the news, and you would just only see, like, the worst things on the news about our people. And every now and then, I would see someone I knew on the news, and I would have this dual response, which was, you know, shock that this person was on the news for potentially doing something quite heinous, but also trying to reconcile the person that I knew from around the way with that person. And the news never showed that aspect of the person.
It's always a weird sensation. I've had it happen before, too.
It's always a very weird sensation. And I felt like, you know, it's not apples to apples with the story, but it was very important to me to show both sides of these people, both within this despair that they find themselves in, but also just this, again, just this overwhelming sense of love in a certain way. And again, not to counteract the two, but to paint the full picture of the experience. Because I think in writing the novel, what Mr. Baldwin was kind of talking about, because it's like, his depictions of love in this book are lush, and it is like really big, sweeping romance. But then the despair is just as dark and deep. And I think it's kind of a commentary on, you know, I like to joke that this book could have very, very easily been titled The Souls of Black Folk, because, you know, how, you sometimes, if you stop and think about it, like how have black people been able to manifest love and joy when our lives in this country have been always, from the very beginning, rooted so deeply in degradation and despair? You know, it's like this life force in a certain way this ecstatic life force that black people have. And I feel like the film should have that as well.
I really love the depictions. I use the word love, I'm about to reference it. I really like the movie's depictions of love in different forms, mm-hmm. but in particular, kind of, I guess, protective love, I guess I
yeah,
would say.
Yeah.
And I really found myself gravitating towards Regina King's character.
Mm-hmm.
I love that scene where she goes to Puerto Rico. I think
mm-hmm.
it's awesome. Coleman Domingo and Teyonah Parris,
mm-hmm.
who just goes in that first
mm-hmm.
encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about that, those depictions of protective love,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, I guess, what you were hoping to say about
yeah.
it.
I got to give all praise to Mr. Baldwin. And then I feel like I've been kind of using the cheat code, because I think I got to give all praise to Terrell for Moonlight. But I think it was really important to recognize in the book, as you said, all these different aspects of love, depicted in as many forms, the love of family, the love of a child,
yeah.
the love of a sister, the love of a lover. And it wasn't something that I was earmarking in the script. Okay, now we're in philia, you know, now we're in storage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using those terms because the score that's going to come out in a couple of weeks, you'll see that many of our music cues are named after these different phases
mm.
of love, these different kinds of love, you know, familial love,
mm.
you know, romantic love, you know, sensual love in a certain way, you know, sibling love, like all these different kinds of love, communal love. And I think it was something that I recognized, again, in the book is why, in my head, I sometimes refer to it, if Bill Street could talk, it would refer to itself as the soul of black folk. Because there was all these just many different varied depictions
yeah.
of how love functioned within the black household, within the black community. And I think juxtaposing that with the situation that Fonny finds himself in, again, I believe Mr. Baldwin would make a commentary on how the inner strength of the black culture, black family, the black community derives from this very pure kind of love. You know, Ta-Nehisi Coates, he had this quote where he said, and I'm going to butcher it, but somehow, you know, when a black parent gives birth to a black child, they immediately feel like that child is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost manifests this instinctual, protective
mm-hmm.
kind of mechanism. And I think I saw that in the interactions between Joseph and Tish, you know, between Sharon and Tish, you know, between Ernestine and Tish, you know, everybody, all this family that's surrounding Tish to sort of nurture her. And it was really important for us, I say myself and the cinematographer, to really find ways to isolate those things. Even the scene between brotherly love, between Stephon James and Brian Tyree Henry, then there's a scene that mirrors it between Coleman Domingo and Michael Beach. But you see at a certain point, they both reach out and put a hand
yeah.
on the other man
yeah.
and let him know you are not alone. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just a gift that I found in the book that for me, then my job is just to visually, you know, what's the strongest way to translate that to the audience.
Talk to me a little bit about the casting of Kiki Layne and
mm-hmm.
Stephon James. I mean, I think they're both fantastic
mm-hmm.
In this movie. And they get this great opening scene together and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it's not that long after that they're kind of pulled apart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess talk to me a little bit about the chemistry they had with
mm-hmm.
what they both kind of brought to the roles that
mm-hmm.
you saw.
Yeah, for me, with you know, when I write the movie, when I write a script, I very rarely see an actor in my head.
Mm.
You know, I'm hoping that, especially with the early casting, with like the leads or the core of the film, I'm hoping someone will walk in the room and show me, you know, who the character is. And, you know, Trevante Rhodes, the loudest example of that, and
mm-hmm.
Moonlight, I just did not see someone who looked like him physically
mm.
as that main character until he walked through the door.
Mm.
But with this film, I had in my head that, you know, Tish is somebody who speaks with two voices almost in the film. When you see her in scene, most of the things she's experiencing for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the voiceover, in the narration, she's speaking almost from the future, you know, from a distance beyond these experiences.
Yeah.
And so she had to have this, like, this innocence, this naivete in a certain way, but also be able to project this womanliness, you know, someone who's learned from these experiences and grow. And when she came in, you know, I just felt that she sent a tape in, actually. And then Stephon James, we wanted someone who just had this life force in a way, this really just deep kind of connection to the elements, you know, somebody who rejected the normal way of things. You know, I'm not going to get a job, I'm not going to work at the factory and work my
yeah.
way up. Because then over the course of the film, you see that life force kind of dissipate,
yeah.
you know, in a certain way. You see the light go out behind his eyes. And we put them together, and the chemistry was legit, because, again, these people are soulmates. And so we didn't do chemistry reads on Moonlight, but I felt like we had to do a chemistry read
yeah.
on this one. And I'm glad you mentioned the opening scene, because it kind of goes back to something I was saying before. You know, the opening scene of the book is the scene with them in prison, the first prison visit, mm-hmm. where she tells Fadi, you know, we're going to have a baby. But I wanted to establish who they were as soulmates, as lovers, before introducing the circumstances mm. they have fallen into. And it was why we framed the film the way we did. And once we had the two of them, then it was just about building, I described it as we got to build families, you know? Like, who is Tisha's mom and dad and sister
yeah.
that's going to nurture this baby, this child, I'm referring to Tisha now, nurture this child through this experience? And on the other hand, who is Fadi's mother and father, and how could you possibly not deeply love the son? There must be something that's a little bit off about you. And we just built it out that way. And it was interesting because I like to let the process kind of inform what ends up on screen, and Kiki's like brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But she's surrounded by all these very experienced actors.
Yeah.
And so you can see them nurturing her the
wow.
process of being a lead on the film,
yeah.
and that nurturing then makes its way onto the screen, you know, in the way the family coalesces around it. So, really cool process, really good kids referring to Kiki and Stefan. They did a great job.
All right, and moving on, here is my interview with star Kiki Layne, who he was just talking about.
What was it like for you to kind of try out for the role with? Had you read the book beforehand?
I didn't read the book before my initial self-tape, but I did read the book before my chemistry read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you had some familiarity
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like, the process, kind of meeting Barry and then working with Stefan?
It was, I don't know, they're amazing. I mean, of course, initially meeting Barry was like, oh my goodness, it's Barry. but he's just such a genuine guy and just so, I don't know, he is just really, really smart and attentive to what, you know, his individual actors, you know, that he's working with what we need. And then, you know, the whole cast, like, everyone was just so supportive of my learning, recognizing that I had so much to learn, you know, quickly. But everyone was so supportive of that and also, you know, patient with me because they're, you know, I made some silly first-timer mistakes. I'm just like, what are we doing? but thankfully, no one was looking like, oh, my goodness, how did she get here? Everyone was just like, oh, yeah, I've done that before, like, on my first film, too. So, no, it was great.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, this being your first role, period, or is this your first major role?
Major role. I mean, I have a small part in the movie Captive State that's coming up, which I shot. I did shoot that before Beale Street, but that was literally one day.
Yeah.
One day on set, two lines, Kiki out. So really, this is my first feature.
Yeah, yeah. But you're surrounded by an incredible veteran cast. Like,
yes,
everybody in here is a veteran of some acclaim. Even through just watching the film, you kind of get this sense of community. And I was wondering if that was something that kind of sprang organically from the production as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really, that's my family. They, you know, just how Tisha's family looked out for her, like, they looked out for me, Kiki, and were, you know, always checking in to make sure that I was good and that, you know, I was feeling comfortable and, you know, speaking up if, you know, something wasn't working for me. Like, they really, really looked out for me. And I think it, you know, translates onto the screen. Yeah, like, that's my family.
Talk to me a little bit about the first time you read the role of Tish. What was it about her character that you kind of saw some of yourself in, maybe, or maybe could relate to?
You know, I don't even know. Like, when I first, like, got introduced to the role, one of my friends was auditioning for Fonny and asked me to be his reader.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember him sending me, you know, the size and breakdown, and something just leapt in my spirit, like, that's me. I should be auditioning for this. And I honestly can't even put into words, you know, what that thing is. But I know once I read it, I just, recognized that it was such a special love story that, you know, black people, we just don't get love stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, I don't know, there's so much beauty and just tenderness and vulnerability, like seeing just how much they love each other and they're not ashamed of that and no one's really questioning that, you know, there's just so much support around that love. I just knew, I don't know, it was just something so special. And then, of course, Barry Jenkins and James Baldwin. So even prior to reading that in and of itself, it's just like, oh, this has to be something special. but then once I read it and just seeing the images that James Baldwin painted, I hadn't seen anything like that before.
Why do you think that is, that we don't get our love stories told? You know, every time I talk about this with my friends, we always bring up the same movies, like
Love Jones,
Poetic Justice, yeah. the same two or three movies.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, that we don't get our love stories told?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. And Hollywood, I don't know if it's the people have ideas of what black love is supposed to look like or something that just, I don't know what makes them think it's so different. Like,
it does seem like there's sort of been like love stories for us have been sort of barred in a sense.
Yeah, which is crazy. I'm like, it's love. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't know what that is. It's, I mean, it's ridiculous. And then the movies that you name are so old.
Yeah.
You know.
One of the things I really loved about this movie, and Tish in particular, is that she really gets to experience the full gamut of different kinds of love.
Mm-hmm.
She gets, you know, romantic love with Fonny. Mm-hmm. She has my favorite, which is protective love, you know, from all sorts of different characters. Talk to me a little bit about that aspect, the love that this movie depicts.
I mean, I think it's the most important thing, because I think it speaks to the, you know, as Tish is dealing with the things that she's dealing with, the power of being connected, and to have, you know, those people around you who are willing to wrap you up and, you know, hold you up for a moment until you are able to hold yourself up. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the love, you know, with the family, is that even the way that they kind of have to, you know, push a little bit, like, okay, but you got this baby now, you know, and you have to think about that and you have to be strong, you know, for that. But I love that strength doesn't equate to, I don't know, being kind of like tough, you know, which I think is a common, you know, teaching or way of going about getting through these things. You got to tough it out.
Yeah.
You know, I almost feel like Tish gets told, like, you gotta love it out. You know what I'm saying? Even, you know, what her mom says to you, like, love brought you here. It's brought you this far. So that's the thing. It's the love that's gonna take you all the way. That's gonna, you know, get you through whatever circumstances life may throw at you. And I think that's so powerful, and I really do think it's something that James Baldwin, you know, really, really believed in.
You get a terrific opening scene with Stephon James, and it's not long after that Fonny and Tish kind of get separated. You know, they kind of get pulled apart by circumstances. But you guys really establish a certain chemistry right there in the opening scene. I think it's terrific, and it really courses through the movie. Like I said, it's a very passionate romantic movie, even throughout all the hardships that are going on in it as well. Talk to me a little bit about working with him and kind of forming that chemistry together, how that came together.
I mean, I think part of it is just both of us just have an openness to, you know, play and receive. But then we're also such hard workers. So just so much work that I put into discovering who Tish is and all the work he put into discovering who Fonny is. And because the love that these characters have for each other is such an essential part of who they are, you know, that us doing that work already kind of brought to the table, you know, so much of that love. And then once we got together and had Barry there, you know, to just, I don't know, nurture it and, you know, allow it to blossom, because he created just this really safe place for that, because, you know, we do have to be, like, me and Stefan have to be open and vulnerable with each other as well, you know. So thankfully, Barry created a set where, you know, we were definitely comfortable doing that, and then both of us as artists are just, you know, willing to, you know, play and give and receive.
This is a really challenging film. I mean, it's a challenging book. I imagine for Barry it was a challenging adaptation, and I gotta imagine it was a challenging character to play. Tisha's, like you said, really strong, but it's not one of those roles where it's like she has to, right?
Yeah.
It's not that kind of performance either. You gotta find something else in her. Talk to me about how did you get prepared to play that?
I mean, I just spent a lot of time in the book. You know, Baldwin, he writes so much of what Tisha is feeling and thinking in the novel that, of course,
can't
be put into the screenplay, but I have to be able to communicate those things and see and feel those things clearly. And then, you know, just finding the love in my own life. Like, I'm the baby. I have two older brothers, so I definitely have that, you know, family around me that, you know, will, you know, wrap me up and make sure that, you know, I'm good and nurture me, and just thinking of how they've nurtured my dreams and nurtured the things that I love. And, you know, that was a big part of it. Yeah, but, I mean, mostly the text. I mean, Baldwin offers so much in the novel. Like, so much in the novel for me to work with. So I just pressed into that. And then Barry just had the right words to, you know, get me to go even deeper, or to, you know, pull the right thing that he needed from me in that moment, you know, because there are so many different colors that I'm playing with Tish that aren't like, and here's, you know, this emotion, here's this feeling, and hot. Like, there's none of that,
yeah.
You know? It's all, but it all had to be in there and, you know, to be communicated.
Yeah, because for Tish, it seems like almost everything that she goes through is something that she's kind of going through for the first time. She seems like a very innocent character. Like, the, like things are all of these things are happening to her that she's never experienced before. I would imagine that's very difficult to kind of, like, I don't know, like, I can't speak to your life experiences, but to kind of to capture that sort of the wonder that has to come with that. Is that something that you had to, like, prepare yourself for?
You know, I honestly don't know how that happened. I think it's just a combination of what was already in the text, what was in my life, and then, you know, just imagination as well. And I don't know, just figuring out what worked for what, you know, moment, what was going to be the thing that allowed me to communicate what I needed to communicate.
What are you hoping people get from this film? We're seeing a lot of movies this year that are dealing with social injustice and things like that, and they're all tapping it from different perspectives, and Beale Street does as well from its own unique view. What are you hoping people get from the movie when they see it?
I mean, really, I hope that people get the power of being connected, you know, of we don't have to deal with, you know, these circumstances and these injustices by ourselves, you know, like, and whatever that may look like. Is it, you know, your connection to a best friend, connection to, you know, someone in your family, connection to a partner, because that's where, to me, the strength lies in this film, you know, it's in this love and these people's, you know, willingness to love and support each other and not allow the circumstances to cause that to deteriorate. Tish and Fonny's relationship could have easily fallen apart.
Right.
Easily could have fallen apart with all of this. But they pressed more into that connection, and that's the thing that, you know, is getting them through that situation, and the family encouraged that, you know, as well. Like, trust, love, all the way. Like, it got you this far, it's going to keep you going. Yeah.
All right, those are my interviews with Barry Jenkins and Kiki Lane for If Beale Street Could Talk. The film is in theaters now. It's probably going to be there a while longer because it's still riding the award season high, and I expect that'll only keep going once the Oscar nominations come out. I imagine it's going to get at least a few of those. And like I said, it's nominated for four, but Picture Choice Awards this weekend, including Best Picture. And Regina King is also nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She's a shoo-in for that. So be sure to follow the Critics' Choice Awards this weekend as well, this Sunday, and see if Bill Street Could Talk comes away victorious. I'm Travis Hobson, the Punch Drunk Critics, and of course, Cinema Royale. You can find me at punchdrunkcritics.com every single day, and of course, here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.